This is Referee's World with Darren Cullum and Richard Mellon.
Hello again and welcome to the Referee's World podcast, which offers education and training for football referees of all levels. My name's Darren Cullum. I'm a level 5 referee affiliated with Somerset FA, and this is PGMO Assessor or Observer, should I say, Southwest Pool Referee Observer Coordinator, and my mentor of many years now, Richard Mellon.
Thanks for making me feel older than I actually am.
Oh, Rich.
Many years.
Wonderful to see you again.
Yeah, and you, mate. And you. You're looking well.
And so are you, sir. So are you. Okay, so this is the first podcast we've done for 4 years.
Yes. Yeah.
4 years. And we're going to go into the reasons why we haven't been doing the podcast on a regular basis through the course of this particular episode. But it's going to be a case of a couple of little tweaks, a couple of little changes. For example, we're going to try not to talk so much in each episode. And I blame you for that, Rich.
Yeah, thanks.
Mind
very
much, of information yeah. that you yeah, yeah, are. Yeah. So we're going to try and put a 20-minute countdown on each podcast from here on in. Anyway, it's great to be back. Should we crack on with it?
Let's do it.
From grassroots to the World Cup.
This is the Referee's World podcast with Darren Cullum and Richard Mellon.
Right, the 20 minutes is starting. Welcome to the Referee's World podcast. If it's your first time listening, hello, welcome. Thanks very much for finding us. If you're one of the old school, you've been with us since we started the podcast. I think it was 7 years ago, Rich.
It does seem a long time. I cannot remember the date, but it was around about October, November, many moons ago. It was just after we first met when you'd done a game up at Almondsbury in Bristol.
That was right.
It was, yeah.
And you can listen back to all our podcasts on the website, refereesworld.co.uk. So 4 years has gone by. I suppose the big question is, why did we stop doing the podcast?
For me, there was lots of things going on in football, and football increased and went absolutely berserk and mad, and I got stretched all over the place. So I've pulled it in a little bit, and I'm not doing so much running around. I'm still involved, heavily involved with football, doing a bit of coaching. Southwest Pool Referee Observer Coordinator, that's basically looking after the observers for the Southwest Pool, which is the Peninsula League, and the Toolstation Western League. And I still do a bit of PGMO observing, although I haven't done anything yet this season. I'm a little bit apprehensive about the COVID situation. So, you know, the PGMO have been very, very kind and generous to us in saying you don't have to do it if you don't want to, you know, and they've left it up to us to decide. And that's where I am with that.
Okay, so for me personally, it was a case of the work and life at home balance. And like yourself, everything just got so busy. What with the radio station, which I run, which is called Tone FM, the newspaper, which is called Tone News, my gigs and one thing and another. That was my living. It's on a Saturday. And unfortunately, I couldn't do the refereeing. So I had to stop to commit to my work and personal life balance. So
and I think just before you stopped, Kerry, your wife was
pregnant, yes.
Expecting. With Evie. I didn't want to use that word. I was going to say expecting another child.
Yes, so, she was. Evie, yeah. Now 4, started school this year. Just to give you a sense of day and time, it's the 30th of October, 2020. It's a Friday night. It's pretty miserable outside. Day before Halloween, which will explain why I've got pumpkin all down my T-shirt and my hands are yellow.
It's not what you've been eating, then.
No, not on this occasion. So, and because of the COVID situation, which you've already touched on, Rich, it's allowed me to get back into refereeing. And obviously, I'm having a bit more time on my hands now, so hence the reason for getting the podcast up and running. Yeah. So it's great to be back.
It was good to have that phone call a few weeks back now. I think it was about 6 weeks ago, maybe a little bit longer, where you rang me up and said, what do you think about this? And, you know, I'm going to have a go at making a comeback. And I thought, Frank Sinatra's on his way. Like, you know. So I just thought, okay, let's see what happens. And you picked up the idea that you needed to register and all that get affiliated with the county. And everything went from there. And we went out on that awful Saturday afternoon.
So my first game back after, like I said, 4 seasons. The weather was wind, rain, more wind, more rain. And more wind and more rain.
God.
But it was a nice little experience. It was nice to ease myself back in. My last games as a level 5, I was doing the Somerset County League games and the Western League line. I've stepped back in a bit of a lower level. It's the Taunton District Saturday Leagues that I'm doing at the moment, just to sort of find my feet. get myself back into the swing of things, basically.
Yeah, yeah. I think it's the right approach when you've had a break from refereeing, because, you know, it is all about being out there, you know, live in the game and game time and all those things that matter as regards credibility, accuracy, mobility, all those things that come into referees' thinking. And who was the teams? You started with Bridgewater Sports Reserves.
It was a team from Bridgewater and a team from Minehead.
And Minehead Reserves. Colts.
Minehead Colts.
Minehead
Colts,
yeah. Yeah. It was not a very nice day, as I said. So we'll put the weather aside. But how did you prepare for that?
Tell you what, before we go into what I prepared, let's have a listen to a little bit of the commentary that Rich did whilst he was there watching me on the first half of the game. Referee's
World. Okay, so here we are again. Richard Mellon, 25 minutes here gone on the game between BCL Sports and Minehead Colts. And we have a goal, 1-0 to the Sports, a well-taken goal. And nothing of anything to note at the moment as regards Darren's performance. A little bit of ring rusty, as I expect. And, you know, that was shown just now when he was lining up a free kick out on the right-hand side. He was more interested in getting the ball on the right spot. And, oh, we just had another goal, just a volleyed goal. Well done. Nice cross from the right to the far side of the penalty area, about 12, 14 yards out, and the guy just hit it on the turn. So, nice finish. Not expected at this level, but he could be in the first team next week, so good luck to that boy. But Darren, showing his ring rusty, as I was describing, more concentrated on having the ball in the right spot, and took his eyes off the majority of players that were lining up for the free kick in the penalty area. So he's only got the place where he wants the ball and the player who's going to take the free kick near halfway. They're the only people that he's facing. So a little bit of ring rusty. We'll get him to adjust his positioning to take all those restarts into consideration. There we go. So it's 2-0 to the Sports. Much against, to some extent, against the run of play, because I think the Colts have had a good spell. But here we are, 25, 26 minutes gone. Darren's working hard. You can see that here, the substitutes in the background, possibly. Expressing their vocal appreciation of their colleagues out there. But here we are. It's a real howler of a day here. With Storm Alex giving us a test. It's really cats and dogs. It's very wet. Jeans are absolutely drenched as Red 18 goes up the line, crosses it towards the middle. Unfortunately, Red 11 hasn't got a left foot, because if he had a left foot, he'd have curled it around with the angle. And instead, he tried to hit it with the outside of the right, and it went about 5 yards wide of the left post. So here we go. Game is a quick tempo. The restarts are coming fast and furious. Darren's got control of it. He's working hard, keeping his movement going. Looks comfortable. Glances down at his watch. He's wearing a short sleeve shirt. I bet he regrets that now, because it's bitterly cold and raining. But here we go. And so all of those of you who are listening to this and have been out on this same day, you've been down in the room, doing training, walking the dog, doing something where you can listen to the Referees World podcast with Darren Cullum and Richard Mellon. Darren Cullum, level 5 referee, returned to the game. Gives a nice gentle signal, soft signal for goal kick, backing away, talking to the players, got a smile on his face. He looks a happy boy to be out there. Well done, Dan. Nice start, mate. 25 minutes gone. Goal kick taken by the Minehead goalkeeper. Comes back to blue 8. Plays it out wide to the right, to blue 6. Don't know their names, so apologies for using all the numbers, but you know, it's traditional local football here in Bridgewater. Power of an afternoon. Okay, just as I signed off just then, there's been a couple of free kicks possibly should have been awarded. Darren showing the ring rusty. there was a foul, I think, by Red 6, a little push in the back, and Blue 8 went to ground. As he went to ground, he handballed to hand, whatever you wish to call it nowadays, but it was handball from that point of view. But the first foul was the push by Blue Red 6. And Darren, showing that sort of shyness, didn't actually look back at the player and explain to him and, you know, sort of pacify his decision, the player's appeals, and gave the free kick, correctly gave the free kick in the end, because there was a trip finally, but there was two or three little fouls which Darren could have picked up much earlier, but we did get the right directional restart, and Blues had the free kick. So okay, still ring rusty, not quite there yet, but that'll be only a matter of time, and hopefully we'll experience that. Got a nice level of fitness, I know, during his time out from referee, and he has been running there around his Taunton home, and with another colleague, a level 4 colleague of ours, Brian Lee. So Brian, hopefully you're listening, and keep Darren topped up with information and ideas about the modern game. Hasn't changed too much, but there have been significant law changes since Darren last refereed. So he's having a quiet word with Blue 2, who might have said something to him. He's telling him no more, or you'll have 10 minutes in the sin bin. Well done to everybody. It's an awful day, but these lads are out here playing. They're all young lads, I would say, in their 20s, maybe a couple in their 30s. And here we have a referee in his 40s, dare I say it. Nearly 50 might be, but he's going well. Right, here we are. It's Richard Mellon. We just got to half-time. Richard Mellon and Darren Cullum here, Referees World Podcast. Okay, Dad, talk me through a little bit of that game, because I've been talking about you. Now talk, give us a little bit of feedback from you.
Right, okay, obviously a bit rusty. My line is not sort of 100% either. There was a couple of things I think I might have missed. Maybe there was a handball situation. Arm in the air, but I didn't think it was worth penalising with yellow cards and stuff, because the temper of the game is fair. They want to play football. I didn't want to get too busy. I just wanted to sort of ease myself back in. It was a challenge in front of the 18-yard box for the home team. There was a little bit of argy-bargy. Away player fell on the ball, handled it. They thought it was a handball. It wasn't. I let it play on because I wanted to give a free kick, because I was just waiting to see how it developed.
What do you think in general? What's your general feeling? You've been out for 4 or 5 years now, and here you are doing your first medal for a long time.
Yeah, loving it. Good, it's great to be out. I know the weather's a bit naff, but that's what it's about, you know, and it's great running around. I've through lockdown, I've kept myself quite fit with doing a lot of running.
That was quite obvious, because, like I say, you're moving about the field of play quite comfortably. A bit rusty in some places, as you say, but hey, that should be expected.
Yeah.
But you look as though you're enjoying it.
Loving it.
You got your smile out there, and there you are.
A lot of banter with the lads, but I'm talking to them a lot, and a lot of chatting, and sort of, I think it's helping the play along as well.
Yeah, and it's cats and dogs as weather-wise, isn't it?
Yeah.
But here we are in the tropical southwest with with a tropical storm, Alex. Yeah.
Brilliant.
Richard Mellon and Darren Cullum, Referees World Podcast.
Thanks
signing,
for coming
signing
out, Rich,
out
in this weather. Old man like you should be sat home with a pipe and your feet up on a stool in this weather.
Let me turn this thing off. Let me turn it off quick before it catches all that information.
This is the Referees World Podcast.
It's the Referees World Podcast with Darren Cullum and Richard Mellon. And that was a little bit of commentary from Rich on my first game back after 4 years. So over to you, Rich, because I haven't really spoken to you much since that day. What were your initial thoughts?
Well, I wasn't sure what to expect, and as is my normal approach to any game of football, it's a blank sheet of paper. That's how it should be for anybody that's watching a colleague. A blank sheet of paper, and let's start from there and see what happens, you know, because the players will dictate what goes on during the game, and it's how the referee responds to that and how the referee uses his skill sets to look after the game. So I just want to go back before the game, because obviously you knew you were going to go back into refereeing, and you had nerves and butterflies and everything else that you know, you can think of, and whatever you do in the toilet before, because the butterflies will be very heavy, and it's not a pleasant situation, but it's something you have to deal with. Get out there, and it was an awful day. So tell me how you prepared.
So I had been doing a little bit of research on the laws of the game and just sort of touching up on the changes.
Anything in particular?
I think the main one really is the sin bin.
Yeah.
Which I am still... Oh, no, I've used it once.
Okay.
I've used it once. So that's probably the main one for me. There's obviously more technical stuff a bit down the line, but the standard of the games that I'm currently doing, I haven't explored any of the more technical stuff at this stage.
How many games have you refereed?
I have refereed, I think tomorrow will be my fourth one.
Okay.
And I've done three lines as okay, assistant referee.
Let's just touch a little bit then on the use of the sin bin, because this will be not so new for some people, because obviously it's been in for a season now across the country, and it's been piloted in other places first of all, but now it's quite common. How did you feel about learning about using the sin bin and how you actually came across it in the match?
Do you know what? I found it very useful, to be honest.
Yeah.
I think the players responded to it. But yeah, like I said, I've only had to use it once.
What was the occasion for using the sin bin?
It was a load of verbals back.
Okay.
It was one of those game management techniques where I didn't feel that the game warranted a sending off for what he'd said. Okay, so I managed it and I thought, okay, let's use the sin bin now.
That's fine, that's what it's there for. Did you consider setting up the player prior to using the sin bin? Did you get to that situation, or did you go straight in and say, sorry, that's not acceptable, you're going to have 10 minutes?
No, because the game flowed quite well. I didn't have any reason to want to set him up, because I think it was probably the first time that I spoke to him, but I needed to make sure that nobody took advantage of me. Yep. As the referee. Mm-hmm. And he was quite vocal about a particular decision I gave. So upon showing the card the sin bin and sending him off, it certainly calmed things down a bit, and I didn't get any verbals from anybody else for the rest of that game.
Okay.
So
had a perfect a positive effect on the game.
Yeah,
then
so because in a previous life, had he said to me what he said, I'd have probably just sent him off straight away.
Okay.
We've all got tolerance levels.
Of course.
But again, it was more a case of game management, and I didn't want to be too busy, in inverted commas, on my I hate the phrase comeback, but coming back into the game, I didn't want to give myself too much hard work and too much grief. I needed to find my feet to sort of ease myself back in.
But you couldn't be seen as a pushover.
No.
And so consequently, you needed to make a stance. Mm-hmm. You drew the line and the player knew that from obviously the decision that you took to take his name and say, go and have 10 minutes in the sin bin. So you're happy with that situation because it had the right impact.
Mm.
Yeah, and it looked after the game, which is what the important thing is. What about the reporting side of it? Because a lot of our colleagues sometimes, I don't say struggle, but they sort of scratch their chin and their head about, you know, how do I do this? And, you know, how easy is it? Or how difficult is it?
I've never really had problems writing reports. I'm quite open and I like to put as much detail into report as possible. I don't have any problems writing these.
Let's give our listeners a visual of how you went about it. Now the game's live, it's going on, and he makes a comment about a decision that you've not given in favour of him or didn't agree with something that you did, and obviously he's made a comment. How did you go about how would you describe visually what you did and how you felt?
For me, it was a fairly simple decision to have to make. I blew the whistle, stopped for a free kick. He gave me the verbals. And at that point, it was a case of, I need to think carefully here. It's been a good game. I don't want to ruin this because it might just upset the flow of the game. So sin bin.
Okay. How far away was he when he made the comment?
Oh, he was me to you now.
Oh, right.
So he was
close.
Just
a few yards.
Yeah.
Just a couple
of yards.
Because the impact of a player making comments.
But he was quite loud with it.
Yeah.
So players around would have heard it. Had I not done it, then you know what? Some of these players are like, well, that's all right, ref, if he can call you that, then so can I.
Yeah, I think there's some circumstances needed to understand with players that want to show dissent or do show dissent, not want to, but they just do, and how we deal with it as referees. Because sometimes when it's a one-to-one and we're as close as what we are here, standing together here, two metres away, social distancing, quite a useful thing on this occasion. But with players, as the current situation is, that is an important thing. But what about a player that shouts it from 20 yards? Would that have a different effect on the way you think?
Yes, and it depends on how severe it was.
I won't ask for an example.
Well, let's just say F-bomb, C-bomb. People know exactly what I mean when we say that. Again, it would depend on the nature of the game, because...
You say nature of the game. Let's get this in a slightly different context. It's temperature, isn't it?
I knew you were going to grill me. First podcast back.
Yeah, I'll get you in the way of thinking referee-wise. It's the temperature of the game, isn't it? You know, you talk about the nature of the game. The nature of the game has many different angles. So the temperature of the game often gets a little bit bubbly, a bit feisty. And a player will make comment because that's the nature of the game, if I use it that on that occasion. So it's all a question of how do you control a player that makes a comment towards you. Is it a couple of yards and have a word? Is it 20 yards, pull the captain in and have a stronger word? Or is it straight to the yellow card? It's all different phases of how to use the sin bin.
Just going back to the player from 20 yards that was very local with some... what I would call hardcore abuse, then I would deal with that accordingly. And I would probably show a red card straight away because he was vocal enough and loud enough for everybody on the field of play to hear it, potentially supporters around the edge. You've got to think about there could be kids there, could be families there. So if you don't, in those situations, show them the real...
Showing your teeth.
Yeah, exactly. I'm not scared to do that.
That's good, and I don't think any referee should be scared to do that, but they need to learn how to use it. And I would just use the last example. The goalkeeper from in his own penalty area will often shout something that's in a way stupid and unnecessary for something that happens in the other half. I'm conscious about looking after the image of the game through refereeing, and that's what our responsibility really is. Look after the image of the game and protect the players from the wrong things. And sometimes, like I say, I think we're a little bit slow to react, and I think we could do things slightly better than what we currently do in many cases. But what you've got to realise, and I know our listeners will understand this, we've got such a variation of experience out there at grassroots level. You know, we've got people that are 16 years old just coming into men's football, adult football on a Saturday or a Sunday morning, and it's a challenge, and I understand that. And all I want to say is there is a way of doing things, and there's a really better way of doing it as well. But like I say, what I would ask people not to do is don't ignore it. At least do something about it. Even say, I'm not sure what you normally get up to on a Saturday afternoon or Sunday morning, but you're not going to do that when I'm refereeing. And if you put me under pressure, I will use the laws of the game against you.
Wise words from the wise old man himself. It's the Referee's World podcast, the first podcast in 4 years, and we've disciplined ourselves to stick to our 20-minute border. Okay, yep. So that's what we're going to do. We're going to end the podcast now and join us for the next episode here of the Referees World podcast. You can listen online at refereesworld.co.uk.
The download is complete.
This is Referees World.
Listen online at refereesworld.co.uk
or search iTunes for Referees World.